Now, we do look back on this programme very often, and some of the things instantly come back into our mind. Some of the events that happened during the Troubles, you could almost commentate on them without any notes, without any guidance, because you lived it, you remember it. And then other things sort of slip from your memory. I wonder if I was to ask you to tell me what you know about the M62 IRA bomb that killed 12 people. What could you tell me? What actually could you tell me? I want to speak to Tommy Judge, who's a Labour councillor in Manchester. Tommy, good morning.
Good morning.
Tommy, we've had so many tragedies that happened here on this piece of ground that is Northern Ireland that we sometimes forget about the incidents that happened across the water. You'll not forget about this one easily. 45 years ago today.
Yeah, it's something that will probably stay with me for the rest of my life. And I get images and pictures and sounds that will come into my head. Unfortunately, I'm able to carry on and do whatever I need to do. Other people are less fortunate than me and suffer quite badly with it. And it was a day that I was going back to, like I said, going back to Catterick Camp on a coach from Manchester. It was a regular event. This coach was take people over back to Manchester for weekend leave, and we used to do the trip quite regular. And then this day, got on the coach. My idea was to all of us that was getting on the coach was get there early, get on the back seat, get your head down, and go to sleep. Well, unfortunately, very fortunately for me, when I got there, other people were on the back seat, and I was able, I couldn't have to sit somewhere else then. And then that chance, if you like, gave me a life to live, and unfortunately, the people that were sat on the back seat didn't have that chance.
Yes, 12 people, just for people who aren't familiar with what we're talking about, 12 people lost their lives. It was an IRA bomb targeting British soldiers who were on the bus going from Manchester back to the camp. You must have worried from time to time coming to Northern Ireland that your life was at risk. It wouldn't have crossed your mind within England that you might have been attacked, would it?
I think, yeah, it did. We was aware, because at that time, in the 70s and everything, having the uniform on made you, if you like, a target. And I fully understood that. I knew that. But on the coach with us was families and children and everything, and they were just pure and simple victims of it. And it's something that I really struggle with sometimes, because one of my thoughts when I was on the coach, I could hear the children laughing, and then round about midnight, just before the explosion, I could hear one of the children crying, obviously tired and everything, and crying. And then after the explosion, I heard nothing. There's no sounds, and that brought on what actually happened, and it was tough.
It's incredible the carnage that resulted. I'm just looking at some of the facts and figures of people who died and people who were injured. You went on to be a Labour councillor. You went on to be a politician when you left the army. And at that time, the man who is now the leader of your party would have been described, and certainly in years after that, would have been described as someone with a sympathetic ear for the IRA. Was that difficult? Was that difficult for you, Tommy?
It is difficult. I have to sit down there and think. I won't describe myself as the leader's best, biggest fan. I find it sometimes difficult with some of his answers to various problems and the history he has, but how can I put it? It took a Labour leader and a Tory leader, and that John Major and Tony Blair, to actually come into talks with various groups in Ireland, and so politics did. I know we were going through a difficult period now in Ireland with Brexit and all this sort of stuff, but politics give us 30 odd years of relative peace, And that's I've got to say that that's why I got into politics, because I've seen when disagreement and confrontation and what happens, how it goes to its extremes, and I've had enough of that. I wanted to make sure people talk to one another and people were able to get on with one another.
Tommy, I really appreciate you talking to us today, because we do mark anniversaries of tragedy on this programme, and that was one of immense tragedy. It happened across in Manchester. It is in many ways forgotten here in Northern Ireland. I can only be honest with you. It's not the first thing that people talk about, but it's important to mark it today. And I appreciate you coming on, Tommy. Thanks for speaking to us.
But just on the end of that, I attended a memorial service yesterday, and there's probably more people than ever attending that. And there's lots of incidences of deaths and everything in Northern Ireland itself. But when you looked at the numbers that turned out yesterday, it was really something. And you see the families who lost loved ones and the impact it still has today than what it was for then, 45 years on, yet you could still see the pain and suffering. And I just want to get that across to people, because there's enough people in Northern Ireland who have gone through the same, and it's we've got to find a better way of living. Thank you.
Tommy, thank you very much indeed. Tommy Judge, who's a Labour councillor across in Manchester, he was on the bus that day as a soldier. Among those who were killed were Corporal Terence Griffiths, who was 24, Gunner Leonard Godden, who was 22, Signalman Michael Waugh, who was 23, Signalman Paul Reid, who was 17, Lance Corporal James McShane, who was 29, Fusilier Jack Hines, who was 20, and Fusilier Stephen Walhey, who was 18. But Corporal Clifford Houghton also died. So too did his wife Linda, who were both 23, and their sons Lee, who was aged 5, and his brother Robert, who was just 3 years old. They were all killed. Another 6-year-old boy suffered serious burns. And Signalman Leslie Walsh was 17. He was killed as well. I want to speak to his brother Albert, who's on the line. Good morning, Albert.
Good morning.
I'm sure it's a difficult day for you today, Albert. It is 45 years ago, but you actually saw your brother on the day, I believe, or you saw him a few days before it, as he set off on that journey.
Well, yeah, because of the industrial strikes, the trains were on strike, so coaches had been laid on to transport people from Manchester to Catterick. And Les obviously needed to catch the coach on the Sunday evening to go back to camp. So I drove him from our home in Manchester to the Piccadilly station to catch the coach. So I was the last person to see him, really. And that's something that's been with me ever since.
You would have been thinking about him. You'll be thinking about him today. I'm sure you've been thinking about him almost every day over the 45 years. How did you come to terms with the attack, considering that any attack is to be condemned from every platform? But this was an attack that was killing men, women, and children.
Yeah, I was 21 at the time. Leslie was 17, and it was we found it very hard to come to terms with. I was at the memorial service yesterday, and it was my task, if you like, to speak for the families, and it's always a difficult thing to do. I've never understood why things like this were allowed to happen, how it occurred, or what goes through the minds of people who can carry out these things. Because, you know, I lost a 17-year-old brother, but there was a complete family wiped out, you know, mother, father, and two little children. And that is just, it's just an awful thing to contemplate. You know, we shouldn't be doing things like this.
Did you worry about Leslie going to Northern Ireland? Had you worries about him being posted here? And did you think he was safe while he wasn't here?
We did, yeah, because apparently, obviously it is a long time ago, it's 45 years ago, but I was always, we were under the impression that no soldier under the age of 18 will be sent to Ireland. So we were relatively secure in the fact that we thought he would be safe. And obviously, travelling from Manchester to Catterick Camp in North Yorkshire on a coach, you would think he was quite safe. But obviously, you know, we were wrong. It's, you know, the depths to which some people would go to are unbelievable.
Today, 45 years on, the memorial that we've been referring to over the weekend, at this moment in time, are you able to look forward as opposed to look back? How do you view the people who did it? Those, many of whom may now have passed on, but those who would have supported it would have been political leaders in this country in the very recent past. How would you view those people?
I have got no time for them whatsoever. As Tommy mentioned earlier on, and you mentioned earlier on, the likes of Tony Blair and Jeremy Corbyn, I don't know how they sleep at night. I really don't know. But, you know, time has gone on. We've moved on now, and let's hopefully we can move on even further, that we don't see any atrocities like this again. We're obviously never going to be 100% secure because of all the nutters that are out there that can, you know, the suicide bombers and things like that. But this was, it was just a very, very difficult time for us. It really was. So, yeah, politically, I just, I have no time for people like that whatsoever. And I don't know what I would do if I came face to face with them.
You don't feel that Tony Blair or even Jeremy Corbyn, to some extent, set in play a series of events that brought those people away from the gun?
Well, yes, they did. But, you know, again, I don't get heavily involved in politics. I really don't. But I would never trust. I don't trust Jeremy Corbyn. I don't trust Tony Blair either. I would never trust either of them. And yes, there has been some peace, but it's been at a cost. And I feel deeply sorry for the people of Northern Ireland that are still suffering to this day. You know, we suffered as a family, but obviously there's people in Ireland who have suffered even more, and I don't think people really understand how serious it has been.
And that understanding of suffering, because this is a very relevant question, that understanding of suffering, does it stretch to people who would have suffered at the hands of the British Army here?
Yes, it does, because it always goes both ways, doesn't it? You know, there's two sides to every story, and there's always victims on both sides. And I think it's time now that all these things are put aside. And, you know, I can't say I would ever forgive the people who did this, but, you know, it has eased over the years, and it's just a. I do feel sorry for a lot of people, and it has, you know, it has affected both sides.
Albert, I really appreciate your time this morning. I know it's a difficult day for both you and for Tommy. Thanks for speaking to us. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
It's Albert Walsh, who lost his brother in that explosion, and Tommy Judge, who's now a Labour councillor in Manchester, who was one of the soldiers on the bus that day. Right, 0289033105, 077661051055. Gloria asked me a question about the 45th anniversary of the M62 coach bomb. She says, is it in the papers today? It is in the newsletter. There's a detailed article in the newsletter today about that, if you would like to read it in the newsletter.